Welcome to the South by Southwest Interactive Podcast.
Hi, I'm Katie King.
And I'm Lindsay Muse.
And we are coming at you live from the South by Southwest World Headquarters in Austin, Texas, presenting you with the second ever podcast in our new podcast series. Hey, Lindsay, can you tell us about Screenburn?
Well, we're gearing up for the second year of Screenburn. Screenburn is the new gaming component of South by Southwest Interactive. We're really excited to have Will Wright as our confirmed keynote speaker for 2007, and we're also in the process of constructing a virtual Screenburn headquarters in Second Life.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, stay tuned to www.screenburnfest.com for complete details on panels, competitions, tournaments, giveaways, and other special events at Screenburn 2007. But hey, Katie, isn't there a deadline coming up?
There is. The Web Awards submission deadline is coming up fast. That's December 15th is the last date to submit your site to be considered for a competition in the Web Awards ceremony, which will be held on Sunday evening, March 11th. It's a really exciting year this year. We have a new host, Zay Frank, which is, yes, that will be fun. And once again, the awards are hosted by Adobe. So, you know, there'll be lots of good software prize opportunities to be held. All right, well, now we'll turn it over to Sean for this week's interview.
All right, I'm Sean O'Keefe. I'm here with Sharon Rush of Nobility. Sharon, welcome. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me, Sean. I'm really happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. So I'll begin by asking a really simple question, but a lot of folks out there might not know. What is your definition of accessibility?
Well, when you talk about accessibility as it regards technology and the internet, we really are looking at the fact that you want a website where someone with a disability, someone who's blind or visually impaired, who's deaf, who may have mobility impairments that doesn't allow them to use a mouse, so that maybe they use the keyboard to get where they're going. You want all of those people to be able to get the same information and to perform the same kinds of functions and do the same stuff as anybody else can on a website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did you first get involved with this concept?
Well, I was working in 1998. I was working for Easter Seals, and you may know that Easter Seals is an organization that serves people with disabilities. And being in a technology town at a time when I was working for a disability organization, it just seemed like a very natural evolution. And mm-hmm. we invented a competition, the Accessibility Internet Rally, to get the tech sector more involved in our issue. And it was really a tremendously successful and energizing event. And it eventually led to founding the organization Nobility. And Nobility really has the mission to make sure that technology is accessible and that it's very widely available to people with disabilities.
Okay, great, great. Well, I'm just going to jump right in and kind of ask the question that a lot of folks out there want to know. I mean, there are many designers and web developers out there that are just not familiar or concerned with these issues. And what do you guys say to them to kind of get into, like, why this is important and what are the benefits and whatnot?
Well, we think that, and I think it's been demonstrated, that if you design for disability access, you're a better designer. That good design actually is accessible design. And there are many ways in which that becomes clear. For example, if you have an accessible website, it's probably much more able to be used by cell phones, PDAs, other mm-hmm. mobile browsing devices. Download times are better. There are many, many additional benefits. And, you know, we found that most of the people who design technology, it's not that they sit down at their desk and decide, okay, I'm going to make something that none of the blind people can use or none of the people mm-hmm. with disabilities can use. And once you actually make them aware of what the issues are and what the barriers are and what the potential is for people with disabilities to use technology and to be so much more independent through technology, mostly what happens is when that awareness level is raised, people who are technology fanatics just get really excited about the potential, and they actually become very strong advocates and in many ways the very best advocates because they understand the potential of technology. So it's usually just a conversation, you know, that or a demonstration of you have someone who designs technology, you show them a blind person using the internet with a screen reader, and they just get really excited.
Cool.
It's the nature of technology, you know. It's like, ooh, wow, that's a really cool thing that screen reader works that way, and then you want to make it work even better.
Yeah, we let the geeks do what they do best at that point, I
that's
guess.
Right.
Well, speaking of those benefits, I mean, the Target lawsuit is probably the highest profile lawsuit in dealing with, you know, accessibility on the web. What's the latest? Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Sure. The Target lawsuit happened because there was a blind fellow in California who browsed around and found his items and then went to checkout and couldn't check out. And so he called and he complained, and for some reason Target just ignored him and basically said, well, it's not discriminating because he can come to our store. If he wants to buy that stuff, he can just come to our store. And they wouldn't make any changes and they wouldn't accommodate him. So finally he ended up going to the National Federation for the Blind, and they filed a lawsuit on his behalf. Now, there have been other lawsuits filed in the past, and usually people just settle those out of court and, you know, make the changes they need to make and let it be done. But for some reason, Target just dug in its heels and said, look, the laws that are on the book, Section 508, the federal laws, the WCAG guidelines, none of those things apply to us. We don't have to, because we're not a federal agency, we're not a state agency, they don't apply to us. And they asked the judge to throw that lawsuit out of court because there was no standing. Well, the judge kind of looked at it and said, well, we don't really know if they're standing or not, do we? Because there's never been a ruling that says whether or not the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, applies to the internet. So we're going to hear this case. Now, at that point, it becomes really interesting to everybody. Because if they're going to hear this case now, and if the judge rules that the ADA does, in fact, apply to the internet, then suddenly anybody who sells anything or offers any public services on the web has to obey the law. Right now it's just federal or state agencies, but it's going to be everybody. So a lot of people are really watching that carefully and understand that the results could be profound.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that, you know, Target's already made some changes. You know, I've heard about them changing like the way their button behaviors work and a lot of other things and adding code. So
that's right.
It's great that, you know, regardless of what ends up happening, that you know they are making changes. So,
and a lot of other companies are paying attention in that way too and making those kind of changes. So you're right. It's really a good thing.
Yeah. Now, you will be leading the Accessibility Wars panel at the 2007 Interactive Festival. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Give us a little sneak peek of what to expect.
Sure. We've invited some of the people who developed the W3C has what they call the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, or WCAG. And version 1.0 came out in 1999, so this is 2.0. The guidelines have been revised and released in final draft form. And when they released it, a lot of people complained about them and said, oh, these are too vague. There's no way to design to this standard. The standard isn't defined. Also, there's a panel that's reconsidering Section 508, which are the federal laws that affect state and federal agencies and purchases. And so all these things are kind of up in the air, and a lot of people have weighed in saying the guidelines are obsolete. That doesn't work anymore. We have better ways to develop standards. We're not going to pay attention to that anymore. And, you know, with all the new interactive, very highly user-generated content, people are kind of feeling like we can make our own rules and we don't have to pay attention to that. So our panel is going to get some of the people who developed those guidelines and some of the ones who are highly critical of it together on the same stage. And we'll have an open and frank discussion about, so what are the problems and why do we think they can't be salvaged, and what would it take for us all to agree on something? Because I think common standards are something that we all agree that we need. It's just, how do we get there? So I think we'll have a really lively conversation, and it'll be a departure from our accessibility panels in the past, which mostly were just trying to orient people to what accessibility was. And now we're going to actually be taking positions and see what happens.
Well, great, great. Well, I know I'm looking forward to it, and I can't thank you enough for dropping by today, Sharon.
Oh, I was really happy to be here. Thanks, Sean.
Cool. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the South by Southwest Interactive Podcast. Special thanks to Sharon Rush, Aaron Haley, Francis Preve, and Dario Velasco.